Great Scott.
Marty, we gotta go back, Marty.
It's getting heavy, Doc. Good morning, good afternoon, guys. We're back for another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Sean. I'm joined by Mike.
Hello.
And Aaron.
Yo.
And today we're diving right in with Mike's recommendation of the Back to the Future trilogy. I know we left it open-ended at the end, but I think we decided we were all going to watch all three of them, so we are. I think it's fair enough that we can separate the breakdown of each of these between the three of us.
Yeah.
And you get to choose the one you want to break down, since this was your
recommendation. I know the first one most, okay, so I'll go with that one. I mean, I know the other ones
that
just
works
as much.
Perfectly.
So the first one, Marty is in high school. He's best friends for whatever reason with Doc Brown. It's Dr. never really Brown. Talked about.
It's never.
But
kind of weird.
Doc Brown builds a time machine out of the DeLorean. And stuff happens. You know, the Libyans come after him because he steals plutonium, because he needs plutonium to generate 1.21 gigawatts. And the Libyans kill him. And Marty is just trying to get away because they have a rocket launcher. So Marty accidentally activates
because he drives it up to 88 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And it's been set to go to 1955.
Right.
When Doc
he accidentally turns
the
on
examples,
I can't remember
the time computer or something like that.
I was going to say the flux capacitor, but that's not that part of it. No. That's what makes time travel possible.
No, because like when Doc was showing him how to turn it on and
Time circuits, that's what they call
circuits.
Them. Yeah. He accidentally turns the time circuits on, so when he's trying to get away from the Libyans, he accidentally time travels back to 1955, and that's where most of this movie takes place. You all probably know this, so that's that's really all I'm going
to
say.
Hilarity ensues.
Marty has to track down Doc in order to make it back to 1985.
And almost sleep with his mother.
Yes.
Well. When your mother's Leah Thompson. No.
It's the only part of the movie
she
that's
slept
really
with Howard
awkward.
The Duck, man.
That's true.
I'm not sure he wanted that.
So I think it goes without saying that we all like this movie. You know.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb. This is my favorite movie of all time.
It's my dad's favorite movie. It's in my top.
Mm.
It's definitely in my top. This is one of the movies that made me. Like, so it's kind of a staple whenever I think about my favorite movies.
Yeah, I really couldn't tell you another movie or another even trilogy that I can put any of them on at any time and enjoy it. It doesn't matter what day it is, you know, what's going on. You put it on. And I'm just satisfied.
Yeah.
I can, but that's for another time. I think that's what is impressive about not just this movie, but all of them. You can see it with the second and third one that they were clearly written as a piece together.
Yeah.
Because there are things that happen in the second one that are reference to the third one, and things that happen in the third one that are direct references to the second one.
Right.
But you don't really see that as this one. It's kind of its standalone.
And they were
like
both,
it works.
They were shot at the same time.
Yeah.
So.
Like, both of... I think that all of them kind of... Well, not the second one. You really kind of need the third one for it to work in its full potential.
Yeah.
But the first one is, like, it's perfectly fine as a standalone movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because at the end of the... Well, it does set up the second one. When Doc comes back and
but
warns
even then,
Marty.
Like, I'm just
I think they
about
just
that.
Did that to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, the cliffhanger in the end of the first one is just like, oh, they might do a sequel. Neat. Mm-hmm. Like, you being in the theater in 1985 are going, oh, and you're just imagining what happens from there on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a thing where it's like, oh, I can't wait to, like, it's just like, oh, well, I assumed, you know, something like that would happen. But then in the second one, you're like, okay, I have to watch the third installment because I need to see how this ends.
Yeah, because, I mean, that cliffhanger is like...
That cliffhanger, is way...
It's much bigger than the one at the end of the first one.
Yeah, the impact of that is way, way more significant.
Yeah. So, one thing I want to talk about this, I recently, with my cousin Dustin, who has been on the show, so you guys know him, we got to see this in theater. Because that's one of the random movies. And it's just an amazing thing to witness on the big screen. Like, things that I didn't notice ever at home, you know.
I think I said the same thing about Jurassic Park.
Yeah, because we all saw that, too.
Like, Jurassic Park. It was a whole other experience. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God.
And I wish I would have... They also showed the second one. I didn't get to go to that one, but I wish I did. But one thing... I don't know why we... Probably because we were just analyzing everything. We didn't realize until that showing, like, how much is set up and then paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the writing for this movie
That's what I was alluding to at first. The writing on all three of these, but especially the first one, is so tight, considering it's a time travel movie.
Yeah.
And those are, like, you know, so all over the place in terms of... Like,
think about the Terminator franchise. Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so many different timelines. Yeah. Like, okay, what?
And even when they do the branching timelines in the second movie, it's like, it makes sense. Yeah. Like, the way that Doc explains it, it's like, okay, that makes sense. But, like, in other time travel movies, you're just, like, completely, you've lost the plot at that point.
Tenet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tenet, you just lost the plot. But for the writing on this one is great. Like, I know that you had mentioned before seeing it in the movie theater, you didn't realize that the Twin Pine Mall changes to the Lone Pine Mall.
Yeah, that's just things that
and,
I found out over time.
Well, I don't know, maybe this was just in my head, but the clock tower is functional now because they absorbed the lightning, right? So, like...
No, it still hits the tower. It hits the clock tower... And then goes down the wire.
Okay. For some reason, I thought that now that, like, diverting it...
Because
like,
he also wraps it around the hands of the clock.
Oh, right. Okay. Because I know that that's a thing in the second movie, too, whenever it's 30 years in the future, and they're like, save the clock tower again.
Yep.
I just assumed that it was functioning after the incident that happened.
Yeah, no, it's still broken.
I think that there's more things that... Marty does. I mean, obviously, the big one is he changes his family dynamic completely. But
for the better, they deserved it.
Which is a little bit of a plot hole because if he's a successful writer, why the hell are they still living there?
That's true. Unless they just liked the feel of home, so they were just like they just stuck around there.
Yeah, but Marty. I mean, the house itself is nicer, but
and that's another thing that is kind of weird to me. Like, Marty doesn't know those people. Like, those aren't his parents or his siblings.
It's not like his memories changed.
Yeah.
Like,
so, like,
or
whenever...
Or do they?
I don't think so.
No, because he's like...
I'm just spitballing. I don't know.
Yeah, no. He's the center... Him and Doc are, like, the center of...
Yeah. So whenever, like, he shows up in that... back in time... he doesn't know... I feel like that would be weird.
Yeah,
because he's like, well, I've lived my entire life with these people... And you are them, but you're not the people that I know.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they're not, like, too... Like, they're almost opposites of what they were.
Uh-huh.
So, Marty's family's just kind of a bunch of scuzzballs at the beginning of the movie.
I brought this up to Sean when we watched the first one. I was like, imagine, like, you're George and Lorraine, and you met Marty... And Marty played a pivotal role in you two meeting.
Calvin Klein.
Yeah, Calvin Klein. Calvin Marty Klein.
Yeah.
But imagine, like, 17 years after you have your kids and everything, and you start to notice that Marty looks exactly like Calvin Klein, who your wife was dating before she met you.
He starts to hit puberty. He's like, God, my kid looks like that guy that used to bother me. He's like...
Lorraine! You know?
I think Darth Vader's here!
You know, could you imagine that? It's like, did she cheat on me with Calvin Klein?
Right!
You know?
Yeah, no, that's another one that people kind of poke at, like, as a major plot hole.
It's not even a plot hole.
They only knew him for a week.
Yeah. It's not even, like, a plot hole. It's just one of those, like, things you imagine could take.
And here's the thing, I don't know what happen. Their age is, you know, in 1985, but, like, I've been out of school for, what is it, 12 years or something? Anyway, there's people, like, that I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't remember their face. I might know their name. So the one
argument I could understand, it's like, well, he's the reason that we got together. But even then, it's like, no, we got together
but because then he disappears.
I punched Biff in the face because he was trying to rape you. Yeah. So that's why we got together, not because of Calvin Klein. Which is another thing that's funny. It's like, I know that Biff is like his auto detailer thing. It's like, why are you employing him?
Right, yeah.
Because he literally tried to rape your wife.
I think it's more of like a revenge thing. Like, yeah. I own you now, Biff. Like,
yeah.
Like, you do what I tell you to do.
I mean, that's a pure story thing. That's
honestly, if you had the chance, though, to like rule your bully like with an iron fist, you'd do it.
I guess, yeah.
You'd do what George did. You'd be like, well, I own you. Yeah, like, I like the line where he's like, oh, I'm just finishing up the second coat now, Mr. McFly. He's like,
now, Biff,
don't con me. He's like, sorry, I'm just starting the second coat right now.
I kind of like how Marty is like responsible for George becoming like a famous author.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't know that you were artistic at all. And he's like, yeah, because he wasn't encouraged by his parents. Mm-hmm. And then whenever he comes back to the future, he's like, now, Marty, you can do anything you set your mind to. Remember, I always tell you that.
And then it kind of, Marty becomes his dad because his accident that we find out about, because he can't play anymore. So he does this office job that he hates. And it's kind of that mirror image of him in the future versus what his parents used to be. Like, it's the same dynamic once again. Marty took two pop culture items to use them on George. Did he have to go through a lawsuit, like, battle between... Because he had the name Darth Vader before George Lucas had it. So is Darth Vader named something else in this timeline? And does Spock come from a different planet?
He was very tired at the time, so I don't even know if he'd remember
the name.
Well,
no, he did remember the name. He ran out chasing Marty, and so Darth Vader came down from Planet Vulcan and said, you would melt my brain if I didn't ask Lorraine to the dance.
And Planet Vulcan, is that...
Spock's planet.
Okay, that's what I thought it was. I'm not the biggest Star Trek person, but... I thought that's what that was.
Yeah, so I was like thinking about that, and I'm like,
maybe he just like grew up and recognized these names and was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, you think that now, do you think that George like lived his entire life in thinking that aliens were real because of that incident?
Probably. And
he probably already did, though.
the thing about it is like, when you think about the book's not published until 1985. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, so is he going to publish it with those names when those two franchises exist now, like 10 years prior?
Is it said that he uses those?
I don't know. I'm just assuming that he does.
I mean,
or maybe he draws upon something else. Like, maybe when he finally wrote the book, he realized that Darth Vader and Vulcan were already taken.
Well, at that point, if he was using those names, he would have probably used... Because the book that arrives at the end of the first movie isn't the first book that George wrote.
No.
Because Biff's like, your new book's here, Mr. McFly. Yeah. So obviously he wrote books before. So if he was going to use those names, he probably would have used them already.
That's one thing I was actually unclear on. Like, I didn't know if that was his first book or...
I'm pretty sure that he's an established author, which is why they live in that house, I guess.
Anyway, we're tangenting. That's a bit far on that.
The score, I think, I mean, just bring it up now, for all three of the movies is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. But Alan Silvestri, who people will know from movies such as The Abyss, and that's it. No, Avengers, Predator, Ready Player One. I mean, you name an 80s type movie, and he's done the score.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
But he also scored, like I said, he scored like a third of the Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. So he's well-renowned.
Yeah. And
he's like
just
John,
like
next to John
the
Williams,
pop culture songs that they use, like Huey Lewis. And...
All the Huey Lewis stuff.
Yeah.
Who's in the movie?
Yeah. Who's in the movie?
One of my favorite cameos.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like that should be like.
I know.
I mean,
it's like him and Flea are like the obvious like cameos.
I think Flea's a little more relevant for our generation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I wouldn't have known what Huey Lewis looked like.
You're just too darn loud.
Yeah.
I'm afraid you're just too darn loud.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Hearing him say that.
Yeah. Yeah, the main theme, not the power of love, like that's a great song, also written for the movie. Mm-hmm. But Back in Time is I like that one actually more than Power of Love, but they're both great.
Huey Lewis is the rock version of Randy Newman. Let's just throw that out of it. Yeah.
I like Marty and Doc's like chemistry, like them as character. Like, yeah, their relationship is questionable, as you had mentioned. But but just like, I feel like it's one of those paradox things where they're friends because Marty came back to 1955 to tell Doc about he made the.
So then he kind of like
so basically it's like chicken or the egg.
Yeah, that's the way I interpret the movie anyway.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's a strange relationship, but
which
he came back and told me, and he was the catalyst for me creating time travel. So I'm gonna befriend him when he gets old enough.
When you think about the first movie, because when Doc gets shot back in the very beginning, there's no blood.
Oh yeah.
So like. Marty didn't know it at the
time. Well, at the time, yeah.
But obviously, like, Doc, that was something in the time loop that...
Oh, he had the vest on already, yeah.
So that makes sense, like, their relationship. Is he was like, oh, you know what, I'm gonna mentor this kid because he's gonna save my life.
Yeah, not only that, I forgot of the other thing, that Marty gets Goldie to become the mayor.
That's right, yeah.
Hill Valley.
Mayor Goldie Wilson.
Mayor!
Yeah. So, I mean, Marty was also just, like, progenitor of all kinds of things in Hill Valley.
Yeah.
Which is, really...
Which is also funny that Principal Strickland says no McFly ever amounted to anything in the history of Hill Valley. And literally, Marty is the catalyst for everything in Hill Valley.
Yeah, especially...
For Strickland.
Yeah, we realize that in the third film, whenever, like, Marty's influence, you know, on Hill Valley then as well. And just
so that was, we'll get there. That's the third movie.
Okay.
For
story wise, I think I'll say this. I don't know. I think that the third one is the weakest of all three of them. But the story in this one is just like, I like it. Marty has to get his parents to fall in love, but. I don't know, it just doesn't do... Like, it's good, but something about the second movie is just, like, phenomenal to me. It's just, like...
The movie has a lot more... Like, it's the future. Like, there's something... There's, like, a charm to it. Like,
yeah, there's a charm to it.
You remember it. When somebody says, oh, the 2015 from Back to the Future, you see the flying cars, the giant Jaws... hologram and all that. The sports almanac. You think about the housing and everything.
Which is funny, because... A large portion of that movie is in 1955 as well.
That's right.
It is. Yeah.
But like when you think about, and the future parts are not even that long in the movie.
Yeah,
it's like literally like a quarter of the rest of the movie is.
It really just sets up the movie. Like it's not even.
And we can stick. Are we ready to move on to the second one?
I think so. Yeah. Marty goes back to 1985 via. Doc's help and the lightning striking the clock tower, and Doc is wearing a bulletproof vest when he happens because he happens to show up too late to stop the Libyans, but he watches himself go back in time and rushes over to Doc, and Doc's alive, and he reveals the note that Marty wrote to him, and then so Doc comes back. After Marty wakes up in his home and everything and sees Jennifer for the first time in a week, according to him. And then Doc shows up and he's like, your kids, Marty. Like,
something's got to be done about your kids.
We got to take care of your kids, man.
What, are we turning that assholes or something?
I like that they had to reshoot that entire sequence because they recast...
With Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, Jennifer.
So the original Jennifer, I don't know her name offhand. I don't know why I'm pointing at Doc, but
this one right here. Yeah. That's the original Jennifer.
But she actually, her mom got really sick.
Yeah.
So that's why she had to not come back. So
I see.
I just wanted to point that out.
I do remember hearing about that.
But she does a lot of appearances with Back to the Future.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Her and
she's still a part of it.
Her and Goldie Wilson are like two of the biggest people to. They do appearances and all kinds of stuff for it.
Tom Seth Wilson does a lot of appearances. And
does
stuff
he?
Too. Mm-hmm.
I really like how they explain away Doc's old makeup. He's like, oh, I got rejuvenation surgery, like rips the latex shit off his face. It's so like, yeah, we need a reason for Doc to look the same age the entire movie.
Which, like, you think about it, the Doc in 1955 has more like blondish hair versus it's like completely white in the future.
Yeah.
Like, I noticed that, and I never really noticed that. I just thought he looks like an old man the entire time. But then I, like, look closer, and I'm like, oh, his hair's more, like, blonde than it is white.
Yeah, so they go back to, they go to the future, 2015.
Back to the future.
Yeah, to, Marty McFly Jr. is going to get in a lot of trouble by going along with a plan from Griff, Biff Tannen's grandson, which I gotta say, having Biff be the main villain in all three movies is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Biff from 1955 is a great character.
Yeah.
And then he's obviously the same character from 2017, and then the alternate...
2015.
Excuse me, 2015, and then the alternate 1985. Like, those are great characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then Buford Tannen is just okay, but I really admire the screen
stupid.
Yeah. I really admire the writing of the second movie with 2015 Biff, and then he discovers the DeLorean, goes back in time, gives himself the sports almanac, and that composite shot, like, of them two in the car, it's like the best scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Because obviously Biff's lived his entire life and he's like, oh, he's such a moron when I was younger, and he's just, like, schooling himself the entire time.
Yeah, I do like that.
He's just like, no, you idiot.
It's leave. You sound like a damn fool when you say it wrong.
Make like a tree and leave.
And just, that talk between the two of them, I really like that. And the way that they're able to work the story, like Marty seeing himself, like, trying to get his parents together and, like, sneaking around the campus. I just really love that part of the movie. That's my favorite part of the
Doc
movie.
Doc helping himself.
Oh, yeah. Giving
set
him
up the
directions.
Don't you mean a 5/8?
Yes. Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, that stuff was, like, my favorite part of the entire movie. I don't know. I'm gullible for that stuff. Like, that's... I'll say another time travel movie, like Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
It's so well done, though.
It reminds me of that.
Yeah.
How... like tight that is. People say that doesn't make any sense, but I don't know. It makes sense to me.
You're speaking Chinese to me. I've never seen those movies.
You've never seen Harry Potter?
No.
None of them?
No. What? But the first one.
They're what? What? I'm about to piss a lot of people off. They're okay.
They are okay, yeah.
They're okay. They're not in my top.
I'm just surprised.
Yeah, I've never...
I've watched almost all of them.
The only book I've read is the first one, so...
I haven't read any of the books. I've just watched the movies.
I read three of the books. Anyway.
Yeah, back to the matter at hand.
Back to the future. Sean and I lightly touched on this yesterday, that the second one is probably our favorite.
My favorite,
out of the trilogy.
It's all subjective. We don't have to really debate, but... I get that. Like, I do love this.
There's so much going on with it. Like, the story is complicated but tight.
Yeah.
Like, everything comes back and pays off. But it's like, there's so much going on. And you start to think about the movie, and it's like, I didn't feel the length of that at all. Like, but there's a lot. Like, when you stand back and think about it, you're like, we're in 2015 for, like, 30 minutes. Now we're going to 1985 alternate for like another 30 minutes. And then it's like, now we're going to spend an hour back in 1955. And it's like, holy shit, like there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
I like that the entire plot is driven by the MacGuffin of the Sports Almanac.
Yeah.
And so like the first and the third movie are motivated by separate things. Like Marty has to get his parents to fall in love. In the third one, Marty has to save Doc from dying and then return back to 1985. In this one, it's like, we just got to get the Sports Almanac, and the entire plot revolves around the MacGuffin of the Sports Almanac. I don't know. I just like that.
Are you saying that Avengers Endgame was based on Back to the Future Part 2?
I'm just saying, out of all of pop culture, out of all of pop culture, the Sports Almanac is a great MacGuffin.
Oh,
it's,
no, it is.
It's the One Ring from Lord of the Rings and the Sports Almanac from Back to the Future.
And that's the thing. Like, it's just an ordinary thing. There is no, like, mystical power to it or anything. It's literally...
They went to the future, and it's a book that's published in the future.
Yeah,
and they're taking it back through time.
Exactly. Like, and then it has all this power because of that fact.
I know that like those actually exist, but like, what is the purpose of having like a in-depth like documentation of all of the sporting events?
I don't know why anybody would want to have
like this. Yeah, I don't like. It was kind of like a thrift shop that Marty got it from, because she's like, and another funny thing from
the Dustbuster.
Dustbuster. But like, I don't know. I know that like books like that do exist, like in real life.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know why anybody would want one.
Sports historians?
I guess.
Like, that's about all I can imagine.
They're like, oh, let me just casually read through.
Yeah.
And that's a great scene too, when Biff's like, here, I'll prove it to you. And he turns on the game. And he's like, I bet you...
The game just happens to be on the last minute.
USC versus whoever. He's like, I bet they win 19-16 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, they got... The kick is good.
And then he's like, game's over. You lost. And he's like, wait. And like turns it off a little bit louder. And he's like, oh, he's like, it's all over. He's like... And then he tells him, he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, no, no, like, it's a great plot device because they're... Like I said, it's not any mystical object or anything. It's literally, that book has the power of a god just by being in the time that it's in.
The only unrealistic thing in this is the time machine itself.
Pretty much.
It's a shame that we currently live in the alternate 1985, though.
Yeah.
that's this world's 2021.
Well, we still got the self-tying Nikes for $4,000, and we did get 19 Jaws movies.
I
think we got Pepsi free, too.
Well, they brought it back. That was special for 2015. Yeah. I did work. I worked at a movie theater in 2015, and that was a big event that we had, all three of the movies.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was all kinds of tie-ins that week. I can't remember the date that they go to.
October 25th.
Yeah. That was like a huge like thing. Different companies were like Pepsi. They came out with a Pepsi free with that perfect bottle or whatever.
I want that.
The self-tying shoes. They like, I saw a video where it was Michael J. Fox, and it was like the most pathetic thing ever, because it's like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it took forever.
And he's like, oh, they're actually self-tying. And it's like, yeah, but...
Yeah, it took you 10 minutes.
They'll take an hour, and then if you step in a puddle, they're about to electrocute you.
Yeah, you're just like...
It probably would be that.
Wow, you're really shaking there, Michael.
Yikes.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, in the majority, it's kind of funny because Doc takes a back seat in these movies a lot. Like, in the first one, he's, like, getting the clock tower ready for the lightning strike. And then it's just Marty doing his thing at the school. And in the second one, it's the same thing, right? He's getting ready, he's meeting Marty on the roof. Top of the school.
Yeah, we're still following Marty. Like, Doc's kind of
Marty
off.
Is the main character. Yeah. Doc is just a supporting character.
But, in the third really movie, that way. Doc kind of takes the reins.
Well, yeah.
Unintended.
It becomes Doc's movie at that point.
Yeah.
Because Doc, and I think they realize that, is Doc is not explored enough in the other two that they're like, we have to give Doc his shot. Like,
yeah.
Make him have a happy ending.
Right, because Marty basically got some sort of happy ending in the first one. This isn't in order. I don't know why I keep pointing at it. We don't have the movies here. But anyway, I think it's because this one's Marty from number two, so that's what my brain keeps doing. But I forget what I was saying now.
The cliffhanger in the second one, we brought it up briefly earlier, but it's really great because Marty burns a sports almanac, so he's like, oh, you know, everything's going back to normal. Jennifer will be fine, even though we left her on the porch in the bad 1985. The timeline rectified itself. Her and Einstein will be okay. And he's like, okay, I've got to come around. The storm's getting too bad. And Marty's like, oh, don't get struck by lightning, Doc. And then it's like he gets struck by lightning, and you just see like the fire wheel marks like do a corkscrew in the sky, and you're like, oh. Doc just died. Like, he just, like, disappeared
from time. I kind of wish we could see the other side of that. Because, like, what was his entry into 1885?
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. Could you imagine, like...
Because he was in the air.
Somebody seeing, like, a UFO.
Like, I mean, he could fly, like... it only short-circuited the time chip, though, right?
No. It short-circuited the flying circuit.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, it probably just
smacked right down. Yeah. Like, that's why the tires were... completely destroyed. Well, aside from being dry rotted all to hell.
But yeah, I think they're mostly just dry rotted.
They probably
exploded. Wait, so there was two... I mean, we'll get to it when we get to the third one. But there was two DeLoreans back in 1985 at one point.
That's a big plot hole in 1885. Because
I didn't think about that.
Because he loses all the gas. Why don't they just go get the gas from the one that Doc planted?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't the one that he had in his workshop the one?
Or
that
did they not use gas anymore because it was
Mr. Fusion? But that was a problem because Marty said we still have Mr. Fusion, and he's like, that only powers the time
circuit.
Time circuit.
So
they should have just got the gas from the dam.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yep.
Huh.
Because you could just have patched the hole and then. I mean, even then...
Yeah, you literally could have just taken the fuel line out and just put it right back in and just taken the gas out of that one.
Because they would have had fuel lines or at least something that 1955 Doc could have jerry-rigged up or whatever.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Wow. I never even, like, thought about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Love the movie. Yeah, I like the scene after, though, like, Doc disappears... And then Marty's just standing in the middle, and he's like, oh, God, I'm stuck in 1955. And that guy walks up to him, and he's like, are you Marty McFly? And you think he's going to, like, gun him down or something?
yeah, that,
I've got something for you.
Joe Flaherty.
Yeah.
It was the jackass guy from Happy Gilmore. He's like, jackass! You know, he's, like, getting him to screw up his shot and everything.
So, I understand that, like, they had the bet that, oh, we didn't think you'd be here. But wouldn't the guy be like, what's going on?
Yeah, like, he would have seen that, right?
How the hell does he, like, okay, you have a thing here that's written from 1885.
Yeah.
And you have it in, like, a
70 years.
Yeah. And you guys are just like, okay, seriously, what the hell, like, is going on here?
You're gonna open it.
Yeah, and if he, like,
I mean, that's a federal crime, but...
Like, it is.
If he hands it to Marty, and he's like, you are Marty McFly, and he's like, yeah. Like, wouldn't you be like, okay, what the... Like,
yeah.
All right, come on. Like, I'm being punked here.
I mean, he does... He's like, what does this mean?
I'd be a little freaked out. I'd be like, huh? I'd be like, wait, you are... I don't like this. Like,
yeah.
And then he just lets him run off.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Doc just sends Marty back to the future. And then he's like, we did it. And then Marty's just like,
sprinting down the street.
Doc. And he's like, I just sent you back. Freaks out.
Yeah, but I'm back from the future.
I like how in the second and the third movie, the whole like idea is like, I should have never created this dang time machine. It's like, it's only causing problems. And it's just like, that's Doc's entire motivation, like, pretty much for the both of the movies. He's like, whenever we get all of this taken care of, we're destroying this thing. And obviously that happens at the end of the third movie. It does. But, So, needless to say, the second is my favorite.
Yeah.
I could talk about it for ages.
Shit, do we even need to talk about the third one. I mean, big ass gaping plot hole now that I'm just not gonna be able to work around.
My intentions was not to ruin the.
So third one. Where was the DeLorean that Doc came back to 1885 with in the cave?
He put it in the cave for 1955.
Marty. Well, if they would have taken the gas,
Marty would have never been able to cut. Ah, yep, there it's fixed. Okay, we're good. We're good.
Wait, what?
If they would have taken the gas out of that line, then Marty could have just filled the gas back up. In 1985 or 1955. But
they'd also have to get the fuel line for that DeLorean to make sure that.
Yeah, but you could make some.
Shh, we fixed it. It's fine. if they would have done anything to tamper with, but imagine if they had tampered with the DeLorean and then Marty just disappears from 1885 because something along the line, like they weren't able to actually. Like, Marty and Doc in 1955 weren't able to get the DeLorean in working order so that they could actually send it back.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how much gas was in it, like, because you wouldn't have to take all the gas.
Maybe that fuel line was
completely ripped. Because 1885 Doc could have made a fuel line.
Yeah, easily.
So, if it had, like, a full tank of gas,
He could have, considering what we see at the end of the third movie. Jesus Christ. He makes that entire steam-powered locomotive
that
can fly.
So, I don't know. I still watch the third one, and I don't ever really think of that, so it's not a big deal. But
my dad said that the third one is his favorite, probably just because he likes Western movies.
I was going to say, your dad probably likes it because of
my
the Western.
My dad says the same thing, but he also says
the
same
thing. I
like the
third one a lot.
He also says the same thing about the third Ninja Turtles, but we don't have to go there.
I think the third one might be one of my dad's favorite, just because, like, it's Doc's movie.
Yeah.
You get, like, so obviously Doc's motivation in the second and third movie is to destroy the time machine, and Marty's whole character arc in those movies is to don't get goaded into things that just because people call you a chicken.
Yeah.
And I never really...
What are you, chicken?
I never really noticed that in the second movie. Like, that's where it kind of started, where they're like, Biff from 1985 is like, "What are you, chicken?" And then they fight, but they, I don't, I think that Biff's just chasing him. But yeah, and then so Griff does it. Yeah,
That starts there, and then it's Needles, and then it spirals.
But
there.
I feel
why is Needles not Biff?
The one thing that doesn't
work too expensive.
The one thing that doesn't work the best for me in the second movie is that you're introduced to Needles in 2015, where it's like I would have preferred to have seen Marty have his, you know, at least been introduced to that character, because you have to wait literally an entire extra movie to get the payoff,
like,
of
young Needles.
Yeah, the payoff of Marty being goaded in destroying the Rolls Royce. Which obviously he doesn't happen because he had a character arc because of his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Seamus McFly, tells him, don't get goaded into things.
Yeah.
The first McFly born in America.
Yeah.
And he peed on me.
Yeah, he's like, you have a brother named... What,
Martin.
Martin McFly. And he's like, had a brother.
Had.
Yeah, that was his...
Old Martin...
He's just like you, Clint. He got goaded into a fight with Buford Tannen.
Yikes.
So I love that that's Leah Thompson, right?
Yeah.
That plays
Maggie. I had this conversation with Aaron yesterday. It's weird that my great-great-great-grandmother looks exactly like my mother because...
Who isn't related.
Yeah, who is no way related to me, because that's from George McFly's...
Maybe the McFlys just have a certain taste in women.
I suppose, but that was one thing that I noticed.
They all have to look exactly the same.
I noticed after rewatching the third one, I was like, that doesn't make much sense this time.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but I take it.
You had to have her in the movie.
Yeah.
Well, and like I said, it didn't make sense, but you had to have that scene.
Yeah.
Because it's repeated in each installment, so you have to have... Leah Thompson talking to Marty when he wakes up.
Right.
You know, no lights on or anything.
The way she looks in the 20, or I guess the alternate 1985,
is
just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, Marty.
Yeah.
It's me.
I hate that one.
Yeah, Biff just being like the Donald Trump of that universe.
He's literally just Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Biff Tower or whatever. Yeah.
You're supposed to be in Switzerland, you little son of a bitch.
Paradise Palace.
Oh, and that, like, that's a whole big thing, too, is like, when you find out why Biff is married to Lorraine.
Yeah, because he kills George.
Fucking killed George.
Yeah.
And then was about to kill Marty, too.
Your father. Your father's been in the same place he's been for the last, what 12 years?
15 years, yeah. No, 12 years.
12 years or something.
Oak Park Cemetery. And then, and then Biff threatens to kill Marty, too, with the same gun.
But we're on the third one.
Yeah. No, so
we forgot to mention.
That is one thing that I do like about the third one, is that the catalyst of... So, Doc tells Marty not to come get him. Just go back to 1985. You know, things... Go back to 1985, take care of Einstein, and destroy the time machine. And, you know, leave me back in the past. And he was totally willing to do that.
Yeah.
Until he saw Doc's headstone, where he's like, oh God, I have to go back and save him. And that is one thing that I really like about the third movie. It's like Marty was totally willing.
The motivations change quickly once he finds out.
Marty was totally willing to, I don't want to say abandon, but he was going to follow what his request from his friend and leave him back in the past.
Because the note was very...
Heartfelt and sincere. He genuinely was like, I just want to spend the rest of
my life. He was generally happy too.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh, nope, I got to go save him. Which is, you know, great motivation for his character. He's like, I got to save Doc.
Marty, it looks like you've seen a ghost. You're not far off, Doc.
That sniper rifle that Doc has is awesome.
Yeah. That steampunk. And I like when he's walking up and you see the spurs on his boots, and then you see him go and like telescope out the scope before he like pulls it off.
I can shoot the fleas off a dog at 50 miles and it's pointed right at your head, Tannen.
He should have pulled the trigger.
Should have. Implications. But he probably should have just killed Tannen right there on the spot.
Everybody would have just thanked him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they would have.
Yeah.
Especially Marshall Strickland.
Right. Yeah.
He probably wouldn't have even arrested Doc.
Speaking of Marshall Strickland.
He's dead.
Huh?
He's dead.
Yeah.
At the end of the third one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was telling Sean that because...
There's a deleted scene.
Yeah, the deleted scene where he gets killed by Buford on his way out of the party.
So here's what I was a little unclear on. That's... Teacher Strickland's dad, then, that's the kid.
Yes. Yep.
Because it's not Strickland. No, it doesn't add up.
It couldn't be. No.
No, it's his dad. Yep.
But the guy never had hair, so.
he had a hat on, so we don't know.
He had a crazy facial hair, though.
Yeah, I thought I knew that it was his dad. But
yeah, there's no way that it could have been.
Yeah, it doesn't add up.
Yeah, he had the... Marshall Strickland had the Hateful Eight, Kurt Russell Hateful Eight mustache going on that wrapped around like his whole head.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think about, like, it makes the town kind of small when you think about it, because it's like, oh, the McFlys and the Tannens and the Stricklands have just been living in this spot for 100 years. It's like, oh, that probably does happen, but it's
think there'd almost be like a friendship between the three, because they're all have been there for so long, you know?
Right.
Or they just all hate each other,
I guess.
Well, clearly Biff hates... Well, Strickland hates both of the McFlys.
Strickland hates everybody. Yeah.
Strickland. You're a slacker.
Slacker. Mm-hmm. Slackers!
Oh, yeah. Eat lead, slackers! Oh, yeah. That's my favorite version of Strickland.
Yeah.
Whenever he's like...
He has a shotgun.
Yeah, when he's reading the newspaper, and then you turn around, he's in like his bathrobe with like a bandolier of like shotgun shells over him.
So going into a little bit of the story of the third one, they save Clara Clayton,
which changes
going into Clayton Ravine,
Shonash Ravine.
Yeah, that's funny. It's called Shonash Ravine. So before Marty goes back there, Doc in the letter mentions Clara. So he saved her himself, like separately from when
was Marty... it in the letter or was it on the tombstone?
I think it was just on the tombstone.
Or it might have been on the
tombstone. I don't think that he mentions it.
Yeah, because it said erected in loving memory or by his beloved Clara.
Oh, right, like, yeah. Who's Clara? Right, because when he wrote the letter, it didn't mention Clara, but the tombstone did.
Yeah, so, yeah. And he goes back to the day following when the letter was written. Right. So,
and then because... that's when the mayor comes and asks Doc Brown to pick up Clara.
Yeah.
And because Marty's there, he decides not to, and that's why she goes that way. Okay. Yeah. I just put it all in my head.
So Doc was the original... Doc and Marty were the original reason that she died.
Yeah.
Wow. It's shitty.
Yeah, the timeline is a little strange with that, because she's mentioned on the tombstone, but she would have had to have died for them to name it Clayton Ravine, so...
Right.
You know,
maybe she just died at another point.
I feel like that was a little bit of a sloppiness in the
writing. Maybe when Doc died, she just couldn't handle it, and then she just
jumped
off the ravine.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe, I don't know.
That's true.
As David Tennant says in Doctor Who, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
You go crazy thinking about time.
Yes.
I mean, most of the time, yes. But like I said, the time travel in these movies are pretty solid.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're pretty without holes, with the exception of the DeLorean from 1985.
Yeah.
Or 1885, excuse me.
It works. It's fine. We're past it. Don't ruin it for me.
I like that these two movies, the second and the third one, are like... so inherently connected, because we get the scene of Marty in 2015 with the vintage gun game, and then that's harkened back to whenever he, like, basically haggles that guy.
Yeah,
and he's
like,
well, let me try again. He's a sharpshooter. There's a couple of different things in that. Well,
Elijah Wood is the kid. Yeah,
in 2015.
Yeah.
And they mention... about Buford Tannen, Mad Dog Tannen, in the second one, with the picture of Marty and Doc, but with that huge clock. I think what's the clock tower? They're like by the clock tower.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we see
talking about the construction of the clock tower.
Yeah.
In fact, the banner in where it says the festival is going to happen, the banner says all proceeds are going to the construction of the clock tower, and we see the courthouse being erected in the background.
And in the second one, when they're in the alternate 1985, they see a picture of Doc. That's what confirms it.
Yeah.
Standing beside the clock before it's put up,
which
gets redone because Marty goes back there.
Marty goes and takes the picture too. And then we get back, obviously. They manage to make it back to the future after Marty confronts his weakness, his character flaw.
And Clayton/Shonash Ravine has now been named Eastwood Ravine.
Yeah.
After
Mr.
Marty.
Eastwood.
After Marty, who goes by the name Clint Eastwood the entire movie.
And Biff falls in manure for the third time. I forgot that was like a thing.
Oh, yeah, every movie.
Yeah.
There's a funny thing that his brother... What's his brother's name?
Who? Marty's?
Yeah, Marty's older brother.
David.
There's a funny line that David says that you guys probably caught, but when you think about it, you don't know who he's talking about. He says to Marty when he shows up, he's like, oh, he's like, Marty, he's like, who are you supposed to be, Clint Eastwood?
Yeah.
And it's like, which one is he talking about, though? Is he talking about Clint Eastwood from Hill Valley in 1885, or is he talking about the actor Clint Eastwood? Because they look the same.
I assume the actor.
But... that's what I assume, too. But I was like, which one does he mean, though? Like, because obviously Clint Eastwood was probably documented as a...
I mean, if Mad Dog was...
short-term resident of Hill Valley at some point or another. There's a picture of him with the clock tower.
Right. Well, I don't know.
He's wearing the same
public
stuff.
And that's kind of funny. So, like, imagine if George or any of the McFlys, like, looked into that. They're like, Clint Eastwood looks remarkably like Marty and... I mean, Doc literally just went by Doc.
Yeah.
Like Emmett, he literally just went by Emmett Brown.
Yeah.
Back in time. So they're like, and that Emmett Brown looks... I mean, you could explain that just by family lineage. They look exactly the same.
Yeah.
But then he... like, if you think critically about it, it's like, huh, that Clint Eastwood looks like Marty. Calvin Klein looked a lot like Marty. It's like there's something sketchy going on here. There is a
fan theory that
Biff's the only one who actually catches on.
Yeah.
Like, Biff's the only one who's like, holy shit, there's time travel going on
here.
Yeah,
he's like, there's something fishy going on here.
There's a fan theory that, like, that Lorraine and George know.
Like, they know.
Like, when he goes back in the first one. There's a fan theory that thinks that they know. Because they know he hangs out with Doc.
I mean, yeah, it's all possible.
And Lorraine goes to Doc's house back then.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So, they might know.
Huh. I mean, well, he kind of tips them off. If they do know, he kind of tips them off where he's like, if your son accidentally sets fire to the living room
rug. Yeah, that too. That adds to that theory.
Go easy on him. Like, he knows shit that's gonna happen, but that could be onto something. Yeah.
I mean, it's a theory. I'm not gonna like sit here and be like, they know.
That's another episode. We'll just debate that one theory the entire time.
Well, I think the only thing left to say is I can't wait for them to remake these movies.
Oh my god! Give me the fourth one with the train.
With the train.
Yeah, I think the story is so concisely finished by Doc saying, I get that was a joke, but Doc saying, the future is what you make it, you know? It's like, we're done. Which is funny because he's obviously still fucking with time travel, right? He's like, the future is whatever you want it to be. Anyway, I made this time machine again.
I know I said not again, but... I just can't help myself.
A little hypocritical of you, Doc.
I just can't help myself when I get around the steampunk engines and locomotives. I'm like, hey, I want to go to 1985.
Yeah.
And then Doc had a punk kid who points at his crotch.
Sean points out to me, I never once noticed that. I've watched this movie like a dozen plus times. And he's like, oh yeah, wait for the one kid to point at his dick. And I was like, the what? So I'm like sitting there watching it intently, and sure as shit, the kid goes and like points to his crush. I'm like, what the fuck? I just started laughing hysterically. I was like, I've never seen this.
Is it the end of Teen Wolf? Like somebody has their dick out? Like,
oh yeah,
in the stands or something.
Yeah. Another Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, another Michael. Yeah. What's up with these people pointing at their dicks and stuff?
People. And was he pointing at Marty too? Like,
hey Marty, get over here.
So you think that they like only shot, like they only took one take of that, and they're like, okay, that's good.
And then somebody in editing was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What's this kid doing?
Robert Zemeckis was like, oh no. And it was like, well, we have to keep it in. We only shot this once.
I mean, somebody could obviously edit it today to like make it not do that, but I think it's one of those things where it's like, you hear somebody like say, they're like, hey, if you pause this part of the movie, there's this in the background. It's like, no.
It's
like,
crazy.
It's one of those things. Like,
I was going to say, it's kind of crazy that people even see things like that, but that's kind of like right in your face too. Like, obviously you're going to be focusing on Doc in his speech, but if you're just like happen to look
which is what you said to me, like, how have you not noticed this? I was like, because I'm too focused on Doc, like talking to Marty. I wasn't paying attention to Jules and Vern up there.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever, I don't know, noticed that. Like, I know about it because I've watched like videos on weird things in movies, but
I was like, what is going on here?
It is strange for sure.
Yeah.
But a very good tie-off to the trilogy.
Yeah.
And the second and third movies, to be sure.
Yeah, and Doc gives him, the time machine is destroyed, and Doc gives him the picture of him and Marty at the clock tower.
A nice little keepsake.
I'd like to imagine that they get to have, interact with each other again.
They hang out.
There is a game that happens... after.
There's a cartoon too.
Yeah, there's a cartoon.
Yeah. They don't count that as canon, but the game's actually canon, so there is a story afterwards. Huh. But
that's cool.
Yeah.
I'll check that out actually.
I don't know if you can get it anywhere now.
Oh yeah. The only game store the only two game stores that we had.
Well no. Like it was specifically on like Xbox and like on the game stores.
Oh,
so like
there's you no can't physical go copy.
Yeah, you can probably find it.
Yeah. It might be a little difficult.
Yeah, but I don't think that stuff ever, like, disappears entirely.
Like, they're
erased from existence.
Erased. So, I don't know. It's a good game, though. I think I have it installed on my PS3.
Actually. I could probably... I always say this. I'm like, oh, I want to play that game. And then I'm like, no, I don't. I want to know the story. I'm just going to watch a walkthrough of it.
I literally just watch... Like, it's a tall tale game, so it's good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah, I'd probably consider playing that.
Yeah. Definitely worth it.
Well, is it about time for ratings?
It is.
It is time.
Back in time. I'll start with the first one, I guess.
Yeah, we'll go around on
chronologically. Oh, is it chronologically, though? Because the third one would technically be first. Anyway.
This is like Temple of Doom all over again.
For the first movie, I'll say a solid 8.5 out of 10. Yeah, it's not my favorite, but it's like such a solid movie. Yeah.
I will second that. 8.5. Yeah, absolutely. It is top tier. If there's movies, if somebody who has never watched movies in their life ever came up to me and they're like, what should I watch? This would be on, like, in the top 10 list that I would hand. I'd be like, Back to the Future.
You'd have to count it as one. In fact, the whole trilogy. Yeah, you'd have to count it as one. And then, so it's this and another Robert Zemeckis film, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Zemeckis hits home runs. What can we say?
I'm going to go off the rails, kind of like Doc Brown. I think Back to the Future is a perfect movie. So I'm going to give it a 10.
Wow.
Yes.
Let it be known, this is the first time that anyone has given a perfect score to a movie.
Like, that's true.
Wait, what did we...
I gave The Thing a 10
out of
10.
Oh, you did! That's right. Let it be known, this is the second time. Because... My chance is coming.
I there's nothing, like, that I would ever change about this movie. It's the closest thing to a perfect movie, so it's probably the only 10 I'll ever give.
It's fair.
Well, I'll go for the second movie then. 9 out of 10. It's almost a perfect movie for me. Mm. Yeah, I just love this movie. I love the future aspects of it, and I love the fact that we spend the majority of the movie back in 1955 again. Which is something I was not expecting obviously I've seen this movie before, but the first time I was watching it, I was expecting it to be primarily in the future.
Right.
And then whenever it's like, oh, we're just going back.
And
when you think about it, all three of these movies are period pieces, because 1955 is 30 years in the past from filming. 2015 is a future movie, and then obviously 1885 is in the far past.
Yeah.
So... Robert Zemeckis had his hands full creating these movies, because period pieces are not easy things to make. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, on top of it having, like, an amazing story, just the fact that they were all period pieces is something to be commended.
This is a first. I'm going to give it an 8.75 out of 10.
Okay.
It's... I can't give it a 9, but I will give it an 8. 8.75. I can't give it a 9 because I feel like 1 and 2 are like neck and neck, but 2 is just a little bit ahead for me, and I just can't bring myself to give it a whole other point. Like, I just a little bit, just a quarter of a star.
Well, I'm gonna give it a 9. It's as good. But I just think that the first one is just perfect. I don't know. But, yeah, 9 out of 10 on the second one.
And then for the third one, I'll just say 8 out of 10. It really just feels like the victory lap of the franchise.
Yeah.
Where it's like the first one and the second one are just so good that it's like, yeah, we'll run it back. And then they have this as a perfect little bow at the end of the trilogy.
Yeah.
No, I second that one. You summed it up perfectly. That's exactly what that movie is. It's the victory lap.
Yeah, I mean, my scores just keep going down, but that's not to say that the third one is, like, not good or anything. It's still good. But I'm going to go... I want to go as low as 8. Like, I don't want to... They're not, like, a point apart. So I'm going to go 8.5.
All right. Well, there you have it. Our entire show today was our recommendation. I hope you enjoyed it. We have another recommendation coming for you from this guy over here.
It's me.
So it's your turn.
It's you.
What are you going to hit us with this time?
You guys are going to hate me.
Oh, God.
It's another trilogy.
Okay.
But
why is it when I pick a trilogy?
That's true.
Come on. Come on. We're all civil here. I would like to re-watch the RoboCop trilogy.
All right.
I've only ever seen the first one.
Oh, you're in for a treat then.
Yeah.
Well, let me preface by saying, I'm sorry.
It was either that or Mighty Joe Young. I've been sitting on that one.
Well, don't ruin it.
Well, guys, there you have it. If you don't want to be spoiled for the RoboCop trilogy, make sure to watch it before next time, because we will be having a spoiler discussion of it. Thank you for watching our ramblings and incoherent speech about the Back to the Future franchise.
We can't even say it.
We were clearly gushing over it the entire time. I hope you enjoyed it. Comment down below what you think. Thank you for watching and listening, and we will see you in the next one.